Welcome back to week 3 of Manhood Talks, Ephesians chapter 2 today, and it's time to wake up the dead. But here's something to think about. It's a common practice in most cultures for a young man to prove himself to other men to earn their respect. But what about God? Does he make us prove anything to him to earn his approval? So we're in Ephesians again, chapter 2, and verse 1 begins with a heavy dose of reality. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. Paul reminds us straight up that we were dead. Before we followed Jesus, we were dead men walking. Not physically dead, but spiritually dead. In our sins, dead. In the Bible, death means separation. Physically dead means soul separated from the body. Spiritually dead means your spirit is separated from God. And that's what sin does. It separates you. But what if you don't feel dead or look dead? Well, dead people aren't very good at self-diagnosis, or at least I wasn't. The funny thing is, the first sense you get that you might be spiritually dead is really the first sign of life. And the thing that killed us is sin. Verse 2 says, we used to live in sin. We followed the world and followed the devil. Remember, Paul, right here, he's talking to Christians. So that dead life is past. But verse 3, all of us also lived among them at one time. Perhaps the only good thing about sin, if we can even say that, is that it levels the playing field. Everyone has sinned, lived in it even. So don't pretend that you're better than anyone else. And verse 3 says, we deserve God's wrath. That's why it's a bad idea to ask for what you deserve. I want you to do me a favor and let the reality of this really sink in for a moment. Before we knew Jesus, we were not unhappy people in need of joy. We were not sick people in need of a cure. We were not misguided people in need of direction. We were dead. We were not immoral people in need of religion. We were not failures in need of success. We were dead people in need of life. And in verse 5, God made us alive with Christ when we were dead in transgressions. And the timing makes all the difference. When we were dead, that's when he loved us. That's when he had mercy on us. That's totally undeserved. We deserved wrath, but he gave us life. And back in verse 5, it is by grace you have been saved. That word grace is the key to this whole thing. Grace is a gift. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. God just loves you because he loves you. That is grace. This is big, like crazy big. It changes the whole game plan. You might not get it at first, so here's a little analogy to help you. Imagine that we live in a medieval kingdom, and you and I are bums. Dirty, drunk, no good, drain on society, bums. But the king, man, the king is majestic. He is old and wise, just and fair, humble, generous, and powerful. Just a great king all around. And the king sends out two of his knights on a mission to find me and you. Now the first knight, he comes to me and says, hey, you disgusting bum. You smell like garbage and I demand that you clean yourself up. Go get your life in order. Then once you've proven yourself, follow me because the king has a plan for you. Even though everyone on the block can smell me, I still deny that I smell. And just before I mouth off to that knight, the second knight arrives and he finds you. He opens up his carriage and says, come with me. I have something to show you. You get in, you wave goodbye to me, and before you know it, you arrive at the castle. The king's castle, the king's own home. The knight shows you around and man, is this amazing. And then he tells you that the king has adopted you. You are an heir to all of this. You don't deserve it, but the king has a lot of grace. And he loves you like his own child. In fact, his son went to hell and back to make this possible for you. And which one of us will really change how we live? Well, if the king in the story is God, then it's the second knight who really got it right. And Ephesians is our tour of the castle because we are adopted and this is our inheritance. Later in chapter 4, we'll get showered and start learning how to live it out. But first, we need to know who we are. First, learn who you are, then learn how to walk it out. identity, then integrity. Did you catch that? Do you get it? Know who you were meant to be and be true to that. That's Ephesians. And here's the theme, straight up. We were just bums. We were dead men. But in verse 6, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And that's our castle, heaven. That is our home now. If that sounds crazy to you, it should. We don't deserve heaven, but it's grace. Paul calls it the incomparable riches of his grace. There's nothing like it. And this world is full of ungrace. Religious people always judging, always shaming. And don't be fooled by the anti-religious and their smug hypocrisy. Judging the judgmental doesn't make you any better. But God stepped in and changed the whole system. He loved sinners. He raised the dead. And verse 8 explains it beautifully. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Your salvation is a gift. It's all grace, amazing grace. And all you did was put your faith in Jesus to accept the gift. And that changes everything. You're not saved by works, so that way you can't brag about how good you are. If you earned your way to heaven, you could be arrogant about it and look down on anyone who is not saved. I know what you're thinking. There are Christians exactly like that. I know, and they're doing it wrong. If my Christianity makes me arrogant at all, then I totally miss the mark and misunderstand God's grace. Grace humbles us, or at least it ought to. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't do good works. In fact, the very next verse says, "For we are God's handiwork." That means we are his work of art, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That is our calling. We don't work to earn, but we work out of gratitude. And back in verse 10, which God prepared in advance for us to do, God has laid out the path for us and destined us for good works that he prepared. Now we have purpose, but instead of making us arrogant, that purpose keeps us humble. We get to do amazing things, things that have eternal significance, but we don't deserve any of it. We're just thankful for it. So read Ephesians chapter 2. I love this chapter. And in your journal, I want you to write down verses 8 through 10. This is one of the Bible's essential passages. Copy it down once, then write it again in your own words, your personal translation. That'll help you really own it. If you have a group leader, text it to him and see what he thinks. And we'll meet you back here in chapter 3.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.